If the road were easy, everyone would take it. We don't shy away from challenges. We dive in. And now, live from an undisclosed location in FEMA Region 10, it's your host, Joshua Michael.
Welcome, folks. March 23rd. If you can't believe it, if you can believe it, 2024, and we are well into this election cycle of one of the most important moments in history that we've seen for generations. There's been a massive acceleration in regards to consciousness and awakening, and just the masses starting to realize and understand what's going on. And as great and as euphoric and amazing as that is, the power structures that be do not want that to happen. And they want us to go back to sleep, and they want us to forget about all of the cruel things and extermination campaigns that they've done and the massive poisoning that they've endured for years on the population, in which we are finally discovering and starting to figure out who the perpetrators are. And as the politicians might have some to blame, definitely not all. We've seen a massive escalation in the push towards World War III on getting the United States and its allies in NATO. They've been trying to provoke Russia into a global conflict, which in return would have a massive retaliation unlike we've never seen before. We don't even realize what kind of retaliation it is. And if you see on the ground footage of what's really going on in Ukraine, you would understand how ill-equipped that army is to fight against the Russians, and they've been dominated. I personally believe Russia could absolutely ramp up their war front, but they aren't interested in doing that. They simply want to be left alone. They are not expansionist. They are not doing things that would incentivize that or imply that. Instead, we have groups from the West, like the West, that have been continuing to antagonize and try to coerce Putin into a hot war, wider escalation into a conflict. Now, why do they want a conflict? Anytime the oligarchs start to lose control of their populations, they always accelerate into a war. Anytime economies, if you study history, anytime economies start to collapse, just like what we are now and what we're seeing with new economies being constructed, the fall of the petrodollar happening, they always accelerate into a war. That allows that money printing machine to kick on in full gear. That creates a sense of patriotism and fear. It also allows them to expand their censorship and overreach into our lives. But it also is a part of their playbook that they pull from. These people are not creative when it comes to attacking the populations and attacking us. They have a strict curriculum that they have to abide by. And once you understand the curriculum, and once you see the curriculum with how they operate and what their agendas are and motivations are, it then starts to paint a broader picture into what's going on. So as of early last night, apparently ISIS has claimed the attacks on this Moscow attack. Reportedly, the terrorist group ISIS has claimed responsibility for the attack in Krakow's concert hall that has left 40 people dead. That has actually changed now to 118. Excuse me. Just updated again, 133 dead. and many, many wounded after this massacre. Now, there's horrific footage online right now showing and implying things with this massacre, and it's horrendous to watch. But what's interesting to me is I was looking at some of the footage of supposedly one of these individuals that got arrested. And you look at them, and they don't look like an ISIS soldier. And obviously, here's what's interesting too. Usually when it's a terrorist attack or an Islamic attack, they're screaming Allah Akbar while the shooting's going on, after everything else. But ISIS, they love the camera, and they love to show off, and they love to express themselves in a lot of different ways. There's all these people lined up around these barricades, these barriers. And I'll post the video on my X account as well as in this podcast. So if you want to follow me at Noncompliant US, you can check out what I'm talking about. But the guy has his head down, doesn't say a word, gets escorted on the bus. He's got probably 15, 20 seconds of good camera time, good opportunity to say or do something, but he does nothing. And if you look at him, he doesn't look like a Middle Eastern terrorist, right? He looks like he might be from Ukraine, something like that. It's really interesting. And now the internet is apparently blowing up with people claiming that Putin did it. It's an inside job. Putin false flagged his own people to try to provoke them into a war that I believe he doesn't have any interest fighting. Because he's already fighting a multi-front war with his economy and the banksters and the, you know, social constructs and the social culture of Russia, as well as obviously the kinetic wars. I don't think he's interested in accelerating things for what? What's his point? He's this wild, crazy dictator that, you know, is jailing and, you know, imprisoning his opposition and doing all of these crazy things. As that might be true in some account, I don't see anything that they're doing as an expansionist position. I'm not glorifying him, but just calling a squirrel a squirrel. But there's also an interesting thing, and this was, let's see how long ago it was. So we had the Secretary of State office, they gave a speech the other day suggesting and requesting that if they're from America and any Americans inside Russia, and now this is Kirby, warning the world of a potential terror attack in Moscow. The CIA knows all when it comes to Russia and Ukraine. And their hands are in it. That's this post here on here. But listen to this. This is interesting, okay? Listen, take a listen.
I've also seen, hopefully you saw our state, the State Department, our embassy there, put out a notice to all Americans in Moscow to avoid any large gathering, concerts, obviously shopping malls, anything like that, just for their own safety. They should stay put where they are and stay plugged into the State Department for any additional updates and information. I'm afraid that's really all I have on that. Now, in Ukraine, today Russia launched a massive wave of...
So the better question is, really, what's going on? What's this all about? You know, if ISIS claims this and ISIS claims that this is happening, what is their motivation? And where did ISIS come from? Where did ISIS come from? That's the million-dollar question. Who is ISIS? Who do they represent? I believe they're just a hired gun. So anybody with, say, $60 billion, $120 billion, what is it now? They just passed the trillion-dollar bill. Thanks, Mike Johnson. Good job. Good job, Mike Johnson, turning out to be a charlatan. So what is the real motivation? And what dog does ISIS have in the fight? Right? I believe that they're just a hired gun. So the White House says that they have no indication at this time that Ukraine was involved in Moscow shooting. Okay. We believe the White House. They always get things right. Meanwhile, Moscow cancels all the weekend mass gatherings from the mayor. The mayor of Moscow has officially done that. Unconfirmed report says that some of the attackers may be at large. That's a good question. If they're a bunch of Middle Eastern men in downtown Moscow, I'm sure that they could probably find them pretty quickly. Seen a lot of photos and videos of Moscow. Not a lot of Middle Eastern men running around. So they'd be hard to find if they looked Ukrainian, though. Would they not? Just an interesting thing. I'm not going to play the footage, you guys. I'm sure a lot of you have seen it. If you haven't seen it, you know, just viewer discretion at your own risk. The U.S. Embassy has done a security alert to avoid large gatherings over the next 48 hours. So does that mean in the U.S.? It doesn't specify. That's very interesting, don't you think? So what a coincidental thing. We've known that this is going to come. We've known that, you know, for years they've been trying to provoke Russia into a hot war. They want to provoke them. They want to antagonize them because that's the boogeyman that they've been spending all the money on. They've been spending all their time and energy and propaganda to demonize Russia. Meanwhile, there's other adversaries, real ones, real threats that are here in the United States crossing across our border right now. Nobody seems to mention anything about that. Yes, there are Russians crossing the border too, but I don't believe that they are the number one threat for the United States and the integrity of the United States. I believe China and Iran are a much bigger threat. So what are we going to do about that? Well, there's citizens now all over complaining, preaching, praying, trying to get people to draw attention to this massive wave that happened just a few days ago on this blitz on the border with people. Now, this is just a regular citizen, regular man. I just saw this the other day. He's just a regular guy on the Texas border, and he's seeing it firsthand with what's going on. Take a listen.
It's not right that my wife had to quit her job 9 months ago. I had to quit beforehand, get myself prepared down here in Texas, because we're next to Eagle Pass, about 6 hours away, and we quit our jobs 9 months ago. And guess what? We have to watch our household day and night to protect our own land down here. And I'm telling you, these illegals that are coming in, get ready, people, because nobody's doing anything. Nobody's talking. It's all talk. I just want you to know they busted down the gates today over there in El Paso in front of our military. Literally busted down the gates, ran right past them, thousands of them. They didn't do anything. Everybody that's coming in by boat in Florida, the Coast Guard ain't doing nothing. They all say they're doing something, but it ain't happening. They're still getting in. They're coming in over in California, Major. They're coming in everywhere. We're getting invaded. Am I the only person talking? I know I'm not, but there's a lot of people like us that are fed up with this. And I'm telling you, the American people, the real American people, all colors I'm talking, are gonna stand up one day. I don't know who's gonna bring this message out to do something, but something needs to be done. And trust me, we're ready. Don't think we don't carry and watch our...
Yeah, buddy. We have a real invasion going on at the border, and we've only begun to see the real effects of that. You're listening to Joshua Michael, Noncompliant America. We'll be right back.
It's time to unmask the truth and expose the lies. The occupied forces do not want you to hear this broadcast. Breaking through the censorship and delivering raw, unedited content, it's Joshua Michael with Non-Compliant America.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Joshua Michael, Non-Compliant America, second segment. We're going to get right into it, but first, make sure to like and subscribe. If you like what you're listening to, if you like this show, make sure to follow me on X at noncompliantus. It's all one word, noncompliantus. Or go to noncompliantamerica.com. Like and subscribe my channels. We got all the streaming platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google, all of the above, Deezer. I don't know who uses Deezer, but it's there. But welcome. Welcome. We are in a dire situation, and at the very least, it's very important to subscribe to this show. We're going to give you the cutting-edge information. We're going to give you the real news breakdowns, unfiltered, uncensored, unintimidated, to try to get down to the truth, because I believe that you deserve the truth. Everybody deserves to know and be able to make a decision for their lives, especially when decisions behind curtains are being made for you. It's our job to expose these curtains. It's our job to hold these quote-unquote so-called leaders accountable and the culture accountable for what we want in restoring the American liberty system. Now, I had an interview on Rob Taylor's show last night. If you want to check it out, I'll repost it on my X account. Very interesting. We talked for about 2 hours, broke down a lot of information and things like that. And you know, he's an interesting guy. He's a great guy. He's very knowledgeable, and he knows a lot about Oregon and the history of Oregon and the Oregon political space. I like Oregon. I love Oregon. I think it's one of the most beautiful states in the world, but we have one of the most dysfunctional Republican parties, I think, in the nation. And it's sad because we should be one of the best. We have a lot of opportunity here. We have a lot of different things. We have the timber industry, which is getting destroyed. We have the cattle industry, which is getting destroyed. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But we also have opportunities to have deep water ports. Like, literally, think of the name Portland. We have a freaking city that was named to be Portland, right? So why are we not utilizing that? Why is our things getting shut down? And I'll tell you, there's a much bigger plan. There's a much bigger picture. I was watching a commercial the other day. I was watching the show with my son, and this commercial came on. I think it was Honda or Hyundai, something like that. And they specifically said on this new electric car advertisement that they're gonna be able to acquire zero emissions by 2050. Where do they get that number? Where did they come up with the number 2050? Now they're putting it in your face because we've exposed Agenda 21. We know what it is now. We know that it was definitely correlated and tied to the pandemic. Go read Earth Summit Agenda 21 and talk about how they're going to have a massive shift into our society, which eventually is going to roll us to Agenda 2030. Why 2030? That's part of a greater plan. They want to deindustrialize the planet down to this new technocracy where there are no nations, there are no borders, there is nothing but complacency and digital tracking system similar to what China is. Now you say, that's impossible. They're never going to do that. This is America. We need to maintain America. I absolutely agree. We are probably their biggest thorn in their ass out of all the countries, maybe besides Russia. And that's why they're attacking us so hard. And that's why we have, you know, the trans agendas and all of this pushing and pushing of disruption, technology. And when I say technology, I don't mean something like a cell phone. Technology can be, a level of education, a level of understanding, of knowing how social systems work, of knowing how to weaponize propaganda to motivate people into doing certain things through fear, intimidation, or pleasure, and inspiring people to think a certain way or do a certain thing based on some of these motivating factors. And I think our environment is a huge element of that, which is why it's important to detox in your environment, try to get away from all of the things and go out in nature and, you know, be around good people, be around people that are able to be away from their phones for a while and have conversations, because that's going to pull you down, keep you in reality, as well as your relationship with God. We are in such a critical time right now. The only thing and person and thing that can get us out of this is praying to God and with God's guidance. That's the real fundamental pathway that we need to take. We can try to take on all this stuff head on and everything else, but ultimately the plan has already been rolled out. We are already moving in that direction. There's nothing we can do to stop it. The train's already started rolling. The rock has already crested over the mountain and is now beginning to roll down the hill. Now, what does that mean for you? Get prepared. Get prepared now more than anything that you can. The reason we still have lights on, the ability that we have lights, power, food, and all this stuff still going is a blessing. And every single day, it's a blessing because it can get shut off and will, I predict, will be getting shut off at any moment. Then you're going to be working 10 times harder to accumulate your resources and establish whatever it is that we're going to do. And really, what are we going to do after that? I don't know. Again, it's in God's hands. But they are coming for us, folks, in every way. They're coming for our kids, they're coming for our food, and they're coming for our water. And on the next segment, I want to talk about the water and the cease and desist letters that the government has sent Oregon farmers and told them they need to shut down their farm in the name of carbon emissions and the name of this zero emissions plan that's a bigger plan to just exterminate us. We'll be right back.
State of Oregon in FEMA Region 10. It's your host, Joshua Michael.
I don't know about you folks, but I love America and I love American music and American exceptionalism. It is amazing. I love it. I love it.
Seems I can't shed no more.
Man, it's good. All right, we're going to get back into it.
Black lung hearted.
Woo! Do you want to sit down? Do you want to sit down? Have you had enough? Has things gotten crazy enough for you? Well, rest assured, we haven't even begun to get started. As we were talking about earlier, this ball has just started rolling. So what are you going to do? How are you going to get prepared for your life? I'm just a voice on the radio. I'm just a voice through your cell phone. But it really comes down to you, the individual, to make the decision to protect and preserve for you and your family. All we can do is give you the tools. All we can do is lead you to the water. That's it. And we can get in the weeds and talk about a little bit, a couple things. This happened this past weekend. I was hanging out with Kyle Rittenhouse and Don Powers for the National Committee Man vote in North Bend. It was interesting. You know, there was a lot of shenanigans that they had to do with the vote. in order to win and beat Don out, but essentially Don won. It was a Don party. Everybody was there virtually to support Don, and he had his first wave of vote and got 51 votes. I think the runner-up, Solomon, got 30 or something like that, and then had to drop out on the second vote because for some reason they have this like second vote thing. You have to win by 50% of the votes. You don't just win by majority or whoever has the most votes. It's a really weird system. Again, I don't even know any other system besides that dysfunctional voting system that applies in life in any way. Because if you think about it, anybody that gives me an excuse or a reason of why they have this 50% requirement of whomever they are voting for has to have 50% plus one in the vote, anybody that has that argument with me, it's interesting because literally that policy got the guy who's third place, who was the third least popular guy, is now the winner. So no matter what kind of shenanigan BS you want to explain to me on why the Republican Party, who is supposed to be about election integrity, doesn't vote for the guy and doesn't get the guy in who's been fighting election integrity, at its core, that's the number one issue. If we can't fix the voting system, we're going to continue to have these tyrants inside our government creating these over-tyrannical, overreaching things, such as the city council of Salem promoting that tax and trying to push that citywide tax. So ridiculous. There was such a big outcry. I think 83% rejected it, 84%. Now we have Julie Hoy stating that she's going to fight that and redo things and all this stuff. But meanwhile, you know, in her discussions and open panel discussions, which she's at the East Salem Event Center right now talking, if you guys want to go see him, KSLM's hosting it. It's pretty cool. It's pretty exciting. But throwing money at the homeless to these outside organizations that siphon all the money, why do you think they allow the homeless to continue? We could clean all this up much faster. And in fact, they've shown us that they can clean it up. Back when they had that strong arm or Iron Man competition in downtown Salem, suddenly all the homeless people disappeared because they had all these international people coming in and national groups coming in for this Iron Man competition. They wanted the city to look cleaned up. And we saw it in San Francisco too, I think. Where was it, San Francisco? Yeah, San Francisco. When Xi came to town. So they can fix these problems. They can fix it. But it's a moneymaker. And let me explain to you. There's a moneymaker. Okay, so you say, okay, we got 100 homeless people. Okay, what are we going to do? And then this guy who probably lobbies for the elected official and gives them money to their campaign says, hey, I have a tiny home office facility and we manufacture tiny homes. How about we provide them homes? He goes, that's a great idea. Send me a contract. I'll get that approved. We'll get money for that. So now the tiny home manufacturer guy makes hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably selling them. Normally, they probably cost $80,000, but when he's selling them to the state, it's probably $120,000, if you catch my drift. Part of that money goes back to the politician, or the lobbyist group, and everybody else wins. But then another guy's like, hey, wait a minute. I have these social mental health programs that we can get government subsidies to help the homeless. We want to help the homeless. And by all means, I'm not bashing all these other organizations. There's great organizations out there doing good work. I'm just giving an example of how and where the money flows. When you look around and you're kicking this guy off of your business sidewalk who's laying in front of your door, who peed around the corner, and now your whole entryway to your business smells like piss, you have your elected officials to thank because they can fix the problem, but they're making money off of it. They're making a lot of money because think of all of these nonprofits that are swarming these opportunities like vultures. They're all making money. They're all making money. They don't just make money on fundraisers. They get government grants too. And they spend that money to continue to create the problem. They don't actually want to fix the problem. That would make their organization irrelevant. If you actually fix the problem, it becomes irrelevant. They can't do that. So throwing money at the homeless isn't necessarily going to fix the problem. You have to be clean, concise, and surgical. So the other day, I called in. I called in to Julie Hoy's town hall. They put me in the queue. They actually asked me and pre-screened my question as if I'm standing in line, waiting in line to be able to ask my question to this elected candidate who's running for City of Salem mayor, who's running for that project. I have some legitimate questions because I interviewed the past mayor, Chuck, a few years ago, and I was asking him about the homeless. I said, why aren't you guys quarantining the homeless? You know what his answer was? He's like, well, the homeless have their own problems, as in they are immune to COVID. This is when everybody was locked down, everybody was doing the business. It's a legitimate question. It's a little legitimate question, but he didn't want to answer it. And he said, you know, we're not worried about that. The homeless have their own problems. Oh, okay. They're immune to the virus. Makes sense. Yeah, yes, continue to lock down. Continue. Now, this was like in the heart of it. And so what is she really going to do that? So I was asking a question, and my question was simple. Hey, have you guys looked at any other cities across the country or been in communication with any other cities across the country that had a homeless problem and now they have fixed it and they no longer have that homeless problem? Have you guys spoke to any of those cities to learn what they did, what was successful, what happened and what didn't happen? It's a legitimate question, wouldn't you say? But check this out. They pulled some shenanigans and they asked me the question. I was getting ready to go and ask the question on this forum thing that she did over the phone. Not sure how she got my number, but somehow I was on there. And they ended it right before they were to get ask my question. And they played it off like they had no more questions. They totally ignored me and didn't ask the legitimate question. Now, I don't think that was Julie. I think that was people around her. Now, this is the danger of getting the wrong people around you, because I think that was massively a bad move on whomever is running her campaign. And I think and I feel they purposely spiked that question because that's a legitimate question. And there were people going on there being like, well, I think we should devote money for this. And I think we should put money into this. It's like, how about we don't put any money? How about we stop feeding these people? You go to the park and you feed the animals. What happens? They become decadent. They become domesticated. They become lazy. And guess what? They just hang out at the park. They're not going to go explore looking for food or anything else because they never get hungry. So they're just going to linger around and wait for their food. And I guarantee you, anywhere you go in nature, if you go and just start throwing food somewhere and you do it at the same time every single day, eventually you will have a massive amount of animals that just hang out. They will figure out that that's the time and place they need to be every single day to eat. Why does that not apply here in this situation? Why is that not being explored? Now, I get it. We're just a small city, right? We don't have a lot of say. We don't have a lot of pull. It's the Oregon policies. It's a greater policy. I understand that part of it. But shouldn't it be discussed? Shouldn't our elected officials be putting pressure on the higher-ups and the people, calling them, asking them legitimate questions, calling them out in public, trying to get an answer? Hey, why aren't we fixing this problem? hey, we got a solution. We explored this other city that they fixed this problem. Let's try that. All of this money. Be right back. Yeah. I know it's rude to be bragging. They never catching us lacking. Me and my buddy, we working hard for this money. All right, welcome back, folks. Fourth segment. Need to do a little revision from my first segment. There's been some more updates in regards to this Russian terrorist attack. I'd play the video, but it's not translated, so you can't quite understand it. I'm waiting to have my translation system, an AI translation system, translate into this, but Russia has essentially responded. I haven't seen anything from Putin yet, but they released the first video of one of the alleged terrorists. He says that he arrived in Russia from Turkey and was to receive 500,000 rubles, which is equivalent to about 5,000 US dollars. And all he was told, they haven't said who his captors were, but they told him to go kill people no matter what kind. He said he was contacted by the assistant of an Islamic cleric who he follows on Telegram. The place was named anonymously via Telegram, and the weapon from the cache was handed over by the person who ordered the attack. Reports said he received 250,000 rubles up front. So there you go. Now, who's involved with that? Who do you think's actually involved with that? It's an interesting response. So they're showing it to the world to let us see what's actually going on. We don't need the CNN hosts or the commentators or anybody to tell us who did it and what happened. Let's hear it for ourselves. And this is the amazing thing about Twitter, about X, is the fact that we can see things in its raw format. Some of it's pretty horrific. You know, I think later on, you know, they are torturing this guy, right? Putting it on there, not for everybody to see. It's not for the ill or soft-hearted. Here we go. Looks like Putin is responding. So it just broke. Putin is addressing Russia, says terrorists were captured and attempting to flee to Ukraine. Now, why would they flee to Ukraine if they weren't sent by Ukraine? Says a window was prepared for them to cross the northern border of Ukraine. Let's take a listen.
Fellow Russians, I come to you after this bloody, barbaric act of terrorism, which claimed the lives of dozens of civilians, our countrymen, including children, teenagers, women. Many of them are in critical conditions and doctors are fighting for their lives. I'm confident that they will do everything in their hands to save the lives and health of everyone. I'd like to express a special gratitude to emergency services workers, to firefighters, to everyone who helped save people's lives, to get them out of the gunfire, out of the fire, out of harm's way, to make sure that as many people as possible can survive. And of course, I'd like to thank everyday citizens who helped out together with the emergency services. They helped people get to hospitals. We will help everyone, all families that faced this tragedy, those who were wounded, those who were hurt. And I would like to express my deepest condolences to everyone who lost their loved ones. The entire country, the entire nation is in grief with you. The 24th of March will be the day of grief, the day of mourning. We have anti-terrorist measures introduced in Moscow and in Moscow region. What's critical right now is to make sure that those who are behind this bloodbath are not allowed to do so again. We will be investigating this terrorist attack, and we already have some results. All the four perpetrators were directly involved, who were gunning people down, killing people. They were found and apprehended. They tried to escape. They were moving towards the border with Ukraine. And we have data that suggests that they were about to be moved towards the territory of Ukraine by those in Ukraine. Our military services, our emergency services, everyone is, our investigators are working on finding out the orchestrators of this terrorist attack, those who gave them transportation, who created, who gave them weapons, etc. The investigative authorities will do everything to identify all details of this crime, but it's already evident that we face not just a cynically organized terrorist attack, but a massive mass killing of civilians. These perpetrators, these criminals, went specifically to kill people, point blank. Our people, our children, just like the Nazis that once killed our people during the war. They do the same. All the orchestrators, all those who are responsible for this crime will inevitably be found responsible. They will
pay. Okay, we can fade that down. Now, a lot of you probably like, why are you playing this? Why are you playing this? Because this is important. This is a very important moment in history. This is exactly what we've been talking about, of them trying to escalate and provoke Russia into a hot war, different situation. So they don't have a lot of information yet, according to that. They might have more than we know. He's obviously not going to just reveal everything. I think eventually, once Putin is, they're finished with their investigation, I think he's going to have another press conference and really call out what's going on. So this is a very important time, because our media, our government, our captors, the people that are running this country, do not want us to hear who was actually behind it, which is why there's all this crap on the internet, everybody saying that it's a false flag, this, that, and the other. There's no justification for that at this time. There's no reasoning for that. And I don't believe that, you know, I don't think that to be true, especially when you have the CIA ties with ISIS and their collaboration. If it was ISIS, again, they're just kind of a gun for hire. Who's really behind them? You know, who could it be? When these people are losing the war and not getting what they want, you know, supposedly one of these alleged captors got offered $5,000 to do his deed. These guys, Ukraine just got, you know, $60 billion the other day. So it's a very reasonable question to ask. And it's going to be very interesting in the next week or so what the media and how they're going to spin it. How are they going to distract us from this? And what greater move are they going to make to divert our attention from the whole world looking at this Russian massacre? How are they going to divert our attention? That's what we need to be asking. That's what we need to be looking at. But as always, thank you guys very much for listening. I'm Joshua Michael, Noncompliant America. Can you believe it? It's almost the end of March of 24 in the most important election year in history. And I'm happy to be here. We are making massive moves on expanding. We're going to get some phenomenal guests on. Make sure to tune in. Beating up for something, and you got the feel.
clutching to what you thought was real.